Welcome back. I am now joined by my good friend, Christian Nwamba, who is here to discuss building a web for everyone. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Krishna. Thank you so much for that introduction. Hello, everyone tuned in, and welcome to a session where we remind you that the web is for everyone. I'm super excited to be hosting this web panel where I'll be interviewing amazing folks from the web developer community. My name is Christian Nwamba, just like Christian already said, and I'm a cloud advocate at Microsoft. But as you already know, today is absolutely not about me. Today, we are learning from an outstanding creative coder, Christina Gutton. Hi, Christina. Do you want to tell us more about yourself and where you're based?
Yes, I am in Costa Rica currently. I'm originally from the US, but in Costa Rica, and I have been a developer for about 4 years, self-taught, and got in through creative coding, which we'll talk about a little bit today.
Cool. Nice to have you here, Christina. I also have a fabulous open source maintainer who created the super React UI library called Chakra UI. Hi, Segun. Do you want to tell us more about yourself, what Chakra is, and where you're based?
Hi, Chris. Hi, everyone. My name is Segun, as Chris said. I'm based in Dubai. I'm super excited to be here. I'm the creator of Chakra UI, a very popular open source React component library. I work currently at Trailing.com as the design system manager, and I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. I've been using Chakra UI personally, and I won't deny this. It's been an amazing experience. I can't wait for you to share to everyone what you have to say about Chakra UI today. And we also have a rigorous content creator and an amazing web and accessibility teacher, Gift. Hi, Gift. Do you want to tell us more about yourself and where you're based?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Chris. Hi, everyone. My name is Gift Iguinu, and I'm a front-end engineer and also a content creator. I'm based in Lagos, Nigeria, and I'm also very excited to be here.
Yay. Nice to have you here, Gift. And then we have the co-creator of everyone's favorite, and I mean literally everyone's favorite Vue framework called Nox.js. Hi, Sebastian. Do you want to tell us more about yourself, a little bit about Nox.js? I can see we already have like static apps documentation on Nox docs page. Do you mind telling us more about Nox, what it is, and where you're tuning in from today?
Hi, thank you, Chris. I'm Sebastian. I'm a self-taught developer for 14 years now. I've been doing Node.js and JavaScript for 10 years. And like Chris said, I'm the co-author of Next.js, which is a web framework based on Vue, and that is making the web development as intuitive as possible. So it's quite easy to make a JavaScript application with server-side rendering as well as static exporting. And Debbie just released the tutorial to deploy on static hosting for Azure.
Thank you so much, Sebastian. It's super exciting and genuinely an honor to have you all here. But before we get straight to talking about Web for Everyone, I would like to learn more about your favorite announcements at Build so far. Like, we've had over 24 hours of Build, and I was hoping to hear what has been your favorite announcement and what are you super excited to go back to work and start using right now. Feel free to
For me, one of the biggest features is mostly Visual Studio Code Spaces. And this is because based on the fact that I maintain Chakra UI, most of the time I see people who want to contribute to the project, but find it a little bit difficult to set up the project, and I have to literally guide them on how to set up the project, the commands to run, and things like that. But knowing that I can literally get them to run the project on the browser and literally contribute, fix a typo, or contribute to a code, that's really amazing for me.
Yeah, it's super exciting. I don't know if you saw this as well, but there is also a voice feature for live sharing VS Code. This is especially important for open source maintainers who want to walk people through their code. You can now literally like live share your VS Code environment and also talk people through your code setup. How about you, Christina? Do you have any exciting announcements? Any exciting feature from the announcements?
I would have to agree with Segun there. The code spaces are really exciting. As someone who's been trying, the whole time I've been learning to contribute to open source, I just really like that idea of like being able to go in and someone who has these open source projects being able to just give you a code space to work with.
Amazing. Thank you. How about the Give?
For me, I am currently loving the Azure Static Web Apps. I have seen a lot of people raving about it on Twitter, and I've also set out time this weekend to actually play around with it. Being a big and huge fan of the Jamstack, it's really exciting to know that this is out there.
Amazing. Thank you. And how about you, Sebastian? Do you have a favorite announcement so far?
Well, I have two. CodeSpaces is really, really great. It will allow more people to contribute to open source project as well as Nuxt, since you have to download Node.js, install all the dependencies, so it's quite heavy. So it's really, really great. And Audio Call for Visual Studio Code, because I'm actually using it with Puya, the other core team member, to work with the live share session, and adding Audio Call is just perfect.
Amazing. I'm so happy that all the work we've been doing at Microsoft is going to facilitate open source maintenance and help them get their day-to-day activities done easier. Why don't we go straight and start to talk about the hottest web topic we have today, in my opinion, which is accessibility. I mean, it makes sense that in 2020, everyone, and I mean literally everyone, should care deeply about building accessible websites. Gift, I've read accessible posts for beginners, and that was a super helpful post for me, at least. Do you believe beginner developers should pay attention to accessibility, or should it just be for senior or experienced developers?
Thank you. I personally had a good time writing that one. I believe everyone, regardless of your level of seniority, should prioritize learning accessibility, especially at the beginning stage of your career. And the truth is, a lot of beginners, even when I started, I think I learned accessibility like, say, a year after I started learning web development. And this was because at the time, most learning platforms, their curriculum, they don't prioritize accessibility. But I've seen different platforms embracing that. But it would be great if these platforms actually have like accessibility as the first or the second part of the curriculum, because that way it will help you more engaged. It will get you more engaged with accessibility at the beginning stage, so you can build more accessible apps. The reason why we are actually trying to preach accessibility is so we can show empathy for our users. We are building applications for the web, and we want everybody to be able to use it. So I feel like regardless of your level of seniority, if you're a beginner developer, a mid-level, or a senior developer, you should prioritize accessibility.
Thank you, Gift. I really loved when you used the word empathy, because a lot of our users, which most developers don't understand, is that it's not as easy as we assume it is, that people are able to use our website visually. So things as simple as just adding an alt tag to images to just like describe what the image is doing goes a long way to help someone who is not able to take a look at that image properly and make sense out of it. And for Shogun and Sebastian, as open source contributors, are there any strategy you build into your OSS product to encourage developers to not take accessibility for granted? At least I know Segun, with Chakra UI, you do a lot of accessibility strategy, and you like building a lot of features into the system to help with situations like this.
Chris. Yeah. So one of the things we try to do with Chakra UI is to help build accessibility into the React components we create. To be honest, the subject of accessibility is quite complex, right? There's the simple scenario, just like you said, of adding the alt tag to images or making sure you don't use div for buttons. Those are very simple scenarios. So when you enter into more slightly complicated scenarios like keyboard focus management, or making sure that our components can be accessed via keyboard, not just the mouse, right? Those are more complicated areas. And what we try to do with Chakra UI is to build or bake those accessibility considerations into almost all components, right? So literally every single widget that exists currently on Chakra UI is fully accessible. And what we try to do is to warn and guide users so they try to use components in a way that is accessible.
That's really amazing. That's fantastic, Segun. Christina, what is the one thing you would tell a developer to do to a vectors or SVG icon or even a web app to make it more accessible? Just one tip that to help developers make their visual or rather to make their images more accessible.
Yeah, I think if I can say one thing, it's similar to what you mentioned. With an SVG, you can give it a role and also a title. So you can let people know what this SVG is actually for. And that's super helpful if you want like a quick win as far as accessibility.
Amazing. And speaking of SVGs and vectors, what are they and how are they related to creative coding? Do I need mathematics or art to get started as a developer? This question goes to you, Christina.
Yeah, you could use math and be really artistic to use these, but you don't have to. I am not an artist. I like to play around with art some, but I'm not. It's under the hood, an SVG is just a plain text document, and it actually is pretty human readable. If you start to learn it, you can see the lines and the curves and the different colors, and then you can manipulate that with CSS or JavaScript. So you don't have to be a math whiz or an artist to be able to get started with it, but it's a lot of fun to just be very creative on the web.
Cool. And one thing I noticed is it's really lowering the barrier for art-inclined professionals to bring their creativity into the web ecosystem and build really amazing stuff with their skills. Gift, do you think being able to build static sites and deploy them easily is one of those barrier-lowering strategies? Because we've seen today, we've seen the announcements about being able to build and deploy static web apps in just a few clicks on Azure. Do you think that's going to aid, is it going to lower the barrier for people who are not professional developers to get into the ecosystem and start building and bringing their ideas to life?
Yes, I think it is. I mean, I've seen people go from newbie using like a technology to deploying a fully fledged website in just a few steps. I'm talking about the Jamstack scenario here. I'll give you an example. Most of what I learned in GraphQL today, I learned from working with Gatsby and Gritsum. So, yes, I think it's a good way to get more people comfortable with web development. And I must also mention that it also has like a very good developer experience. So regardless of your seniority level, it's a good technology to work with.
Amazing. That sounds good. After all, these days, you don't even need to be the best CSS developer or the best React or the best Vue developer to start building really great or aesthetics websites. And I can't remember the last time I wrote a huge page of CSS code since I started using Chakra. Segun, do you want to tell us more about Chakra in details and how it saves you CSS writing time?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things that really makes Chakra UI shine a lot is that it saves you time in writing CSS, but not just only CSS, right? Chakra UI creates components for you that makes it really easy to design your website or create or code your website based on the design constraints or the design that the developer or the design that your team agrees to create, right? So one of the things that is really popular with other open source libraries is that when you have a design, for example, in Sketch or in Zeppelin, and you need to create those designs in code, you really just have a hard time trying to get them to fit whatever design you have, right? So one of the things Chakra UI tries to do is to create like low-level primitives and design constraints and really make CSS fun to write. Right, for example, if you wanted to add a padding to an element, instead of writing padding, you could just create a component and then pass P or padding X or padding Y to style the padding on top and bottom or left and right. Right, so these are style aliases that really make it fast for you, make it faster for you to write CSS in general. And again, not just CSS, right? So Chakra UI also takes care of a lot of accessibility, just like we're talking about today, building a web for everyone. Right, this really starts from open source libraries. libraries, right? If all our open source libraries actually follow these guidelines and these principles to keep accessibility as a main focus, I think most of the applications and websites we build today would actually carry on these accessibility standards.
I really like that message you just sent across to all open source maintainers to have accessibility in mind when they are this basically encourages developers who are going to end up using this open source product it makes it more opinionated and forces their hand to actually make their sites more accessible. And Sebastian, just in case you don't know, I know there is a Chakra UI for Vue coming out soon, and they are looking for how to integrate with Next.js components feature rather, which is really amazing. I'm really excited about the things they are working on in Chakra UI. Do you have any message for them regarding this, Sebastian?
Yeah, I've been talking to Jonathan, who was working on Chakra UI Vue. And I've been helping them as well with Kelvin to make the next module to include Chakra UI quickly. So you just have to npm install a Chakra UI view and add it to your next.config.js.
And amazing. And go on.
There is also the documentation he has done is now using Next.js and MDX. So MDX is also coming for Vue, and we're going to release the MDX module for Next. And regarding the components, the auto import components, we're going to work on it this week. So you won't have to specify the components. It will automatically work with tree shaking, making sure that your JavaScript bundle is as light as possible. So you simply use your Chakra UI component and it will be imported right in the chunk who is using it.
That's really exciting to hear, Sebastian. Thank you so much for this collaboration and making sure that developers are doing their best to build more accessible sites. Now, speaking of open source, Sebastian and Segun, what motivated you at the beginning to keep pushing, knowing that someday you will save developers hundreds of hours in development time?
I think I'll let Sebastian go first.
Okay.
Well, I didn't know I was going to save developers hours. I wanted to save myself hours in the future, so I will be able to reuse my code. And I've been in love with open source for 10 years, so I just pushed everything I was doing, and I didn't expect Next to grow that fast. And honestly, the issues pushed me to keep working on it because it meant that people were using it. So it just kept motivating me until I reached 1,000 issue. But this is still motivating to see people using your framework. So I never lost motivation on this.
I'm a huge fan of Noxt as well. How about you, Segun?
For me, I have, I think, like two motivations. One of the motivation was that before starting Chakra UI, I used to work as a designer. I was a full-time UI designer. So one of the frustrations I had really was shipping my design off to Zeppelin or InVision and then giving it to my fellow colleague to actually create these designs and code them out. Right? And this is a very common scenario where after you see the code, you'll be like, okay, well, this is not what I sent to you, right? This is not the design I created. I'm sure this is your own design, right? But then it's really hard to keep consistency between design and development. So what actually motivated me was like several years of frustration working with developers. And I really just wanted to try to solve this problem myself to see how I could actually be of help to my fellow colleague who are developers, right? So because I kind of feel today that my experience as a designer really helped me in creating Chakra UI. So that's like the first, for me, that's the first motivation. And then the second one for me really is seeing the issues on GitHub, maybe not just the issues, because sometimes the issues can be overwhelming, to be honest, but really seeing people who send me messages on Twitter, just literally telling me, thank you for creating this framework. You literally saved my life. You literally like helped me make a lot more money than I'll be able to make. And then I'm like, oh, dude, remember to send me some Tide, you know? I just saved be some money, right? Right. But really seeing all these people thank and really appreciate the work you've done kind of gives you the courage and the motivation to just keep moving.
Well, for what it's worth, Segun, for what it's worth, you saved me a lot of time. Like I just mentioned, I love front end, but I don't appreciate a lot the time I spend in just like writing like lines and lines of CSS. Chakra basically just saves me that time while following like really very popular design patterns and accessibility patterns. Thank you so much for that product, Segun.
Awesome.
Christina and Gift, you both teach and write rigorously, and most of your contents are free. Well, everyone I know that does not write but wants to start express this lack of motivation, what encouraging words other than just do it can you say to them?
You can go first, Gift.
Christina, do you want to? Okay. I actually like this question. Okay, I have been in that space too where I lacked motivation because obviously content creation is not easy, yeah? But one thing I have to say, or actually two things that I have to say is first, as a developer interested in writing or creating content in general, the first thing I would advise for you to do is to create a why statement. So basically what this is why you should create a reason why you want to create content. So are you just creating content for yourself? Do you want to write that article for yourself or do you want to write it for others? Just have a why statement down. That's the first thing you should do. And then secondly, you should create actionable steps. So my why statement, for example, is I enjoy teaching people and I also enjoy learning in public. So the reason why I create content is for two reasons, basically, for me to learn more and for me to also teach people. So after creating a why statement, the next thing you want to do is to create actionable goals. So a goal could be in this month, I want to write two articles. In the next 3 months, I want to have like 3 articles. So creating goals like that would help you, and not just creating it like in your mind without having an action planned. It would be great if you like document your goals down. This has really helped me so much because I have like a list of ideas that I want to, a list of content ideas that I want to use. And this has helped me to stay motivated even when I don't have like the push to do these things. When I think of the amount and the log of content that I have to create, I just have to do it. And yeah, I also enjoy getting feedback and also from the results that I see from actually going on to create content. Yeah, it makes me happy.
Amazing. It's nice hearing that from you, Gift. How about you, Christina?
Yeah, I think Gift just like expressed that beautifully. I have a similar kind of way I go about it. Why do I want to create this specific piece that I put out there? Is it for me? Is it something that I had a hard time figuring out and I couldn't find the resources? So then I want to put that out there because it's beneficial for me eventually when I forget that thing, but it's probably also going to help someone else. You know, I think as someone who is self-taught, I learned a lot from other people and I try to give that back as I'm learning as well. I would say the hardest thing, hurdle to get over is just publish, right? Just put it out there because I think some of us can be perfectionists and you can always go back and fix things. But also just keeping in mind that everyone has an opinion about what you do and you can shift through that feedback over time of like what's beneficial, what's helpful, and what can you just kind of ignore and keep going. And I think over time, as you keep going and you keep developing things, people are going to encourage you more and more, and you're going to see less and less of that kind of negative stuff that maybe you're fearing before you put things out there.
Amazing. We just have about 2 minutes left, so we're going to do just one fun thing quickly. Just in one sentence, can you shout out your favorite open source tool right now? Like, just say it and before I say goodbye to everyone. Yeah, you, Sebastian and Segun, you cannot say Nox and Shaka.
Damn it. That's tough.
I can go first. Recently, I've been loving Tailwind CSS. Yeah. I used it recently for my website, and I've been using it at work as well. So I really like it, and I like the effort that is being put into it as well. So yeah, kudos to the maintainers.
Amazing. And how about you, Sebastian?
Yeah, I would say I know that this framework is not that popular, but I've really played with it a lot. It's called Adonis.js, and it's like Laravel, but for Node.js. And I know the V5 is using TypeScript. So I have a strong Node.js background, and I would recommend for people trying to do a backend with the Node.js.
Ooh, that, nice. How about Ishegun?
Okay, so since I can't say Chakra UI, I would say that I've been playing a lot with a library called Mobic State Tree, right? It's used for modeling state for an application, right? So before now, I used to struggle with managing the state of my application because it gets quite complex over time, and you just like have to do some patches to get it to work. But Mobic State Tree really makes it like really easy and simple, and actually quite enjoyable for me for the applications I build, right? So I'll definitely recommend that.
Okay, cool. Christina, I'm so sorry, but you have just 5 seconds to tell us yes.
Yes, React Router. I've been using it a lot. I taught it when I was at Lambda, and they're improving constantly, and they're at version 6 soon, and I think it's great, and you should check it out.
Awesome. Apparently, my favorite right now is Chakra UI. So. Yeah. Thank you so much, really, for joining me in this session. It has been a fantastic experience, and it's an honor chatting with you all. For everyone tuned in, head to aka.ms/swadocs to learn how to deploy a new static app with serverless APIs and OAuth authentication to Azure. Thank you so much, and back to you, Christina.
That was